Testing. Okay, so we're rolling. We're rolling. The podcast situation is a little different right now because I'm just feeling like doing this cash, kind of like Emma Chamberlain. Today's episode is about models apartments, and I realize a lot of you might not know what that is. So what is a models apartment? A models apartment is something that your agency or a modeling agency that represents models sets up. It's housing for the models that they represent. So basically, when a model signs with an agency and they are either coming from overseas to work in a different market, the agency has housing that they set up that the girls can live in. So my connection to all of this is that way back in the day, in 2007, when I signed with my first agency in Europe, I went and stayed in a model's apartment. And I stayed in about 6 model's apartments over the years, but it was pretty much in the beginning of my career until I had, like, way before I ever had like my L cover or anything that was a big break. I was staying in model's apartments trying to make it work. So I thought that I would just talk about what that was like because it was pretty crazy. Doesn't even scratch the surface of what it was actually like living in models apartments. So the first one that I ever lived in was in Athens, Greece. And so I signed with an agency when I was still in high school. And before I even graduated high school, I went and lived there for a month. And I think that was kind of like a crash course on what models apartments are like because it was Athens. So it wasn't even like a major fashion city. It was just one of these cities that my mother agency had selected that I go and work at. So I went there when I was 18 years old, and I remember showing up. I went from the airport to this address, which was the model's apartment, which was at the base of the Acropolis in Athens. And it was just this, it felt like a hostel with a bunch of different rooms. And in each room, they had 3 beds of girls and guys, male models and female models, where we all were just staying. And basically, there were roommates that you were assigned. And so I like got to the hotel or the like model's apartment. It was technically called a hotel, but it was a model's apartment. And I met these 2 girls who were from like Lithuania and Estonia. Didn't really speak English, and basically that was my first model's apartment. So you walk in and it's like tiled floors, metal cot beds, twin size beds in one little room, and a kitchen, no washing machine or anything like that, and a little standing shower area. But right away, when I got there, I felt very alone, or very much like it was like you have to figure it all out on your own. I didn't know anything about where to go to a grocery store or even to just like do laundry or anything like that, like life skills. Because this was also like the first time I was kind of on my own. Because as a high schooler, it's kind of like it was the first time I was like just away from home by myself. So I think all of the factors, like having it be a totally different country where I didn't speak the language, and they actually faxed us our castings. Like every morning you wake up, you go down to the front desk reception area, and there's like a fax waiting for you with your name on it that says what your castings are. And then that was your day. It's like you get your fax from your agency of what your castings were, and then you go. So I would latch on with the other girls and say like, oh, do you have this casting? Okay, cool. Like, let's go together. So I could like learn where to go based on where they would like take me and just kind of follow their lead. But so that was the first model's apartment. And one thing I learned right away is that the days are for castings, but the nights are for going out. And that was what really like, that was how people did it, is they would go on their castings all day long. And then at night, the club promoters, which is the very first time I ever encountered this, club promoters who take the girls to the different like clubs around town, show up at the model's apartment, and then they take you out to like the fancy clubs and stuff. So that was the first time I had ever even gone to a club. But it was kind of like you just do that because that's what your roommates are doing. And so I remember the girls were... Everyone would be smoking in our actual physical room. And that was also the first time I was like up close and personal with like cigarette smoke like that in a shared space. But it was also surprising to me because the girls I was living with were like 15, 16. I was the old one as an 18-year-old. And so to think that like we're all sitting in these little rooms, there's smoke everywhere. We, you know, we had a long day of castings, and then like honk, honk, there's a club promoter outside waiting to take everyone out to the clubs. And you kind of, it's not that you don't say, you can't, it's not that you can't say no, but you just don't. Like people just go because it's like, you, it's just what you did. You go to the castings, you go home, you change, and then you go to the club. And then, yeah, it was just a weird, this was all completely foreign and new. Even just like getting around, it was just such a eye-opening experience. But that's like why I latched on to the other girls that I met in this model's apartment. So that was the first one. The second one was when I was in New York, and I bounced around a couple models apartments in New York when I first signed with my New York agency after I got back from that Athens trip. And those were very cramped, but it was more like, it was more of living with your agents, because with those set of models apartments that I lived in, you lived with the people who were getting you the jobs, like the bookers too, with the other models. And the crazy thing is that one of those first apartments, I think it was in the financial district, those models that I lived with, one of them went on to be a really big actress. She's all over the place now. It's kind of funny to think she wasn't the most successful model, but she went on to be a really big actress. So it's kind of funny to think we like shared a little room at one point. But so those rooms were also very cramped because it was New York City for one, but also just the nature of models apartments that they're typically pretty cramped. And that was when things got a little bit more real with other things. Like I remember the first time I was around drugs was in a model's apartment. One of the ones, I think it was in Midtown, in like this basement apartment. Everybody was sharing. We had a ton of girls to a room, and there was like a mold problem. Everybody was in a bad mood. There was lots of fights of like dishes in the sink and like, you know, matches of like, you're like, nobody's going to clean up after you anymore. Like these kinds of like bickering kind of things. But then also, that's when it was fashion. It was my first fashion week when I was staying in that model's apartment. And so people were just stressed. But, I also remember being face to face with weird food stuff of like people, like these beautiful girls that were from foreign countries that were like afraid to eat dinner because they had a big casting in the morning or stuff like that. And then just, I don't know, I felt like it was just like a very dark, dingy environment. And it was actually where I began my descent into probably bad behaviors, like very bad behavior surrounding food, because I was so concerned with like what my agency was going to say about me whenever I would go in to get measured and stuff. So that was the first model's apartment that I ever actually got very weird about food was that one, the one in Midtown that I'm thinking of, where it was the first time I had ever gone 3 whole days without eating, which is pretty crazy. And I remember one of my bookers was like kind of praising me, being like really proud of me. She lived in the apartment. But she was really proud of me for like losing weight like that. And she actually, this is so crazy. She gave me this prescription medication. She like kind of gave me a bottle and said, so it's an anti-seizure medication. I don't remember the name of it, but she said that it'll make you not want to eat. She's like, if you take this, you won't want to eat. Kind of crazy to think about that. Somebody that I was living with at an agency that I was represented by, that I'm not going to say the name of. It wasn't the major agency that I was represented by later when I went on to do bigger things, but that she gave me this like crazy medication that was not for me. She was not a doctor. It was literally just to make it so I didn't eat or want to eat. So yeah, weird model's apartment situation. I remember my dad came to visit New York, and he came to that model's apartment, and he didn't think it was that bad because it wasn't that bad. It was just that like you're living with strangers in a crammed environment, and it's just not fun. Like it just wasn't a good environment in general. So then I kind of bounced around from a few different apartments, and then I had to go work in Milan for a little bit. So I went to a model's apartment out there. One of my New York friends was already living in that one. When I got there, I saw her, and that was the first time that I mean, this girl was something else. And she, I think I got there and she poured me a whiskey Coke and was like, I think it was like 11 a.m. I went from the airport to the model apartment. She's like, let's have a drink. And I was like, okay. I was like, I kind of need to figure out where the grocery store is and stuff and get settled in. And she was like, yeah, like, let's have a drink to go to the grocery store. That was the first time I ever like day drank in my life, I think. But again, that was very much club promote. Like, you go on castings during the day and then you go to clubs at night in Milan. And that was kind of a crazy living situation because I think there were like six of us in a room with the beds kind of like Annie, like lined up, like the twin beds of lots of girls from Eastern Europe, like Lithuania and Estonia and Poland and Czech Republic. And we're all in this room in Milan. And I remember I was having a really hard time adjusting to the sleep schedule. I was on a totally different schedule. So I would be waking up at 2 a.m. to start my day, basically, because I just could not sleep. And I was so miserable because I had to go to this one little like part of the apartment that had the Wi-Fi. There was only one part of the apartment that had Wi-Fi. And I had to go out there and I would like be on my computer and it was just dark. It was really dark. So that said, every model's apartment experience, I feel like, was just like really sad because everybody was just sad and stressed about work. And that dynamic of you don't have any personal space. You're just living your life like so, in such close quarters. There's always someone on their phone talking in a foreign language to somebody else. Like, you're always like just sharing. There's also a lot of stress for like when you are or aren't working. So if you're working a lot, if you're doing all these crazy shoots and stuff and you're tired, there's a lot of jealousy of other girls being like, well, she's working so much. Like, why is she getting all the jobs? Oh, it's because she's an American and she's this and that or whatever. But like, even I was confused sometimes when I would get jobs. I'd be like, I don't know why you guys didn't get them because you're so amazing. That this is the other aspect of models apartments I thought was so fascinating was it was the first time I was face to face with the girls that I saw in magazines that I was like, you're a big model. You're a big name. You're a big face. And I'm face to face with them in the morning, at night, like when they have no makeup on, and they look even better than they did in their advertisements and their magazines. So I think that was kind of an interesting case study, was to be like, wow, everyone thinks that like these girls in these magazines are all Photoshop and they're not real. No, they are real and they're even better than what you think they are. They're stunning, they're gorgeous, they're specimens from another planet. Like models, like these kinds of models especially, I was blown away by like what they actually looked like and what they were actually like, you know, completely not glamored up. So that was an interesting case study. They also, like, there was this idea that like a lot of times with the work ethic, modeling is more about like truly making a living as opposed to just somebody thinks they're like they look a certain way and they should be modeling. Like, I feel like in America, a lot of people would like think of themselves as attractive and they'd be like, I should be a model, like selfie, selfie, selfie. I felt like in models apartments, especially models apartments overseas, there wasn't that as much as like, how can I make a living to provide for my family and send money back home? Like, that's more the like mentality, which is maybe why it was kind of dark, because it was like modeling was just, it is a job. It's not like how someone sees themselves or something. So I think that the other interesting thing that I saw was that there were no rules with what we should and shouldn't be doing. Like, I feel like there was no boundaries with like our agents living with us telling us what we should and shouldn't do. Things that just, I don't know, I just don't think it was totally like clear boundaries of having separation from work. Like, even just the fact that like I think there's like, especially if somebody's like getting into modeling, like there should be a time and a place you go that's like has nothing to do with modeling. And with models apartments, there was none of that. So it was just constant 24/7, like I think that's probably why I was so depressed inside of it, was because it was like, I didn't really feel like I belonged. Half the time I show up to castings and I was like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't get it. Like, I think the imposter syndrome was very strong. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to go back to those days. But I think that the craziest thing to me was just to see like this lifestyle that was so chaotic of like so much like physical work of going on these castings and then going out at night and having these creepy promoters that were like older, like late 20s, 30s, coming and picking up 15-year-old girls and expecting them to like go out. And I remember this one girl I bonded with. I can't remember what her name was. God, she was so beautiful. She was from Poland and she was so young. And we went on castings together. She kind of like was showing me around, I think in Milan. It was either Milan or Athens. And she didn't want to go to the club, but she like felt like she had to. She was so tired. She's like, I'm so tired from the shoots, from this and that. And she was like, please, please, please come with me. And I said, I would. But then I was tired and I didn't want to. So there was a night when I was like, I just want to have the house to myself. I want to have the apartment to myself. Everyone's going to go out at 8 o'clock. I want to be alone. And so I said I couldn't go. And she got so mad at me. She was just so sad that she didn't have like a friend or a wingman to go with. And I think that that's very telling because she just felt so obligated, like she had to go out. The other thing was that like a lot of times the promoters, like these club promoters, would convince the girls to come because they would take them to dinners beforehand, like really fancy, nice dinners. But the whole thing was like, I think like these rich guys would pay for these fancy dinners with models. And so then the promoters would come to the models apartment and bring the models and they'd get these fancy dinners, but there would be like these weird dudes at the table. And it was like, are we supposed to talk? Like, what is this? What's going on? What's going on? That's what I feel like I was always asking, like, who are these guys? Why are these guys here? And like, even at the clubs, like you'd have like, there'd be a table, the model table, the champagne, like crazy stuff. And then there'd just be these like dudes at the table that nobody really knew, but we were supposed to be sitting with them and stuff. So that was weird. I didn't fit in. As you can tell, I was not the archetype of who thought that was fun or cool. But I will say that there was one time I was on the highway in a club promoter's, the back of a club promoter's car, going like 100 miles an hour on a highway with a bunch of people. Everyone was on something, drunk, whatever. And I just remember we were like racing someone else on the highway, on this European highway, which I guess didn't have speed limits or something, or I don't know. And this guy like was next to us and he pulled his pants down like and like mooned us from his car in the back seat. It was like, I thought I was gonna die. And then I went from that to the airport to go back to New York for a job. Like, I was just nonstop go. Nonstop. And chaos. But I definitely was introduced to drugs, alcohol, starvation, depression in models' apartments. I feel like they were like the most horrific backdrop of what the industry is. And like, I remember like during Fashion Week going to bed at night thinking like everybody thinks I'm living this glamorous life. And I'm in my little cot and like there's bed bugs and it's cold and I have a cough because I can't really breathe and there's smoke, cigarette smoke in my hair because like everyone fills the apartment with cigarette smoke 24/7. So I just like smell. Oh, just the worst existence. But so that's what it was like living in a model's apartment. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Lucy Beatrix podcast. You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Lucy Beatrix, LuciBeatrix. And until next time, just be fast. Just win.